I've got about five or six different directions that I'm trying to figure out how to go. And so I'm just going to try to follow the leadership of the Spirit. One of the first things that I want to talk about is in Revelations 3 and 22. We read some of this last week about the Lord knocking on our heart and knocking on the church's door, and how that we've overcome, and we've been talking about overcoming. It says in verse 22 of the third chapter of the book of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I want to talk about them for just a little while. The word them. And before we talk about them, I want to ask you a question. How old is this church? 60?
Almost
60?
Since Jesus.
So if I ask that in a different way, is this the Lord's church? How many of you agree? Is this the Lord's church? Now, how old is the church?
3,000.
Over 2,000 years old, right? Jesus set it up during His personal ministry, right? It's all about how we look at them, you see. It's all about how we look at them. And I got a good feeling we look at them pretty hard, don't we? Whoever them is. You remember what we said last week in the 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4? And I was instructed last week that I need to slow down and read the Scriptures a little bit slower and tell you where I'm at and let you get there before I read them. So I'm going to be at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 is the text that we used last week that I didn't know I was going to use until I got to church. And so it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." You remember I said them? I don't know who them is, but I'm going to talk about them today. That's what I need to talk about. I need to talk about them. That's what I need to do. But then the rest of that verse of Scripture says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Now let me tell you something right now. Does God have good control of His church?
Yeah.
He should. Do we allow Him to have control of the church? The Spirit wants to speak to the church. The Spirit wants to speak to Faith Church.
Yeah.
In order for the Spirit to speak to Faith Church, we've got to be ready to listen. What do we hear when we listen? A lot of times we're listening. Now I'm not cutting the church down. I'm not telling you what we need, what we don't need. But what I'm going to try to do today is follow my heart and listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks through me. I'm going to speak to us today. And I'm going to talk to you about them. And as we talk to you about them, there's one thing that I want you to know about them. Usually, them is got a different spirit that is pointing them in a direction, and most of the time that direction is a direction of change. Think about that. Greater is He that is in you than he or them that is in the world. He or them in the world is trying to point us to change. Now, first of all, let's go to Proverbs chapter 24, and I want to look at them for just a little while. And let us note some wise instruction from Solomon. In verse 17 of Proverbs 24 and 17, I want you to notice what it says. Proverbs 24 and 17 says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth." So, first of all, I'm going to tell you, I'm not rejoicing about them. I'm not going to rejoice when they fall. I'm not going to rejoice when it seems like they're overtaking the church. going to tell you right now. He says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. And he said, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Now look at verse 19. It says, fret not thyself because of evil men, them, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Then look at verse 20. He says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. And then he says, my son, my children, at the church that is here, I believe this with all of my heart. God is speaking to His Son, and He's saying to us that are here today, He says, fear thou the Lord and the King. He says, fear the Lord and the King. But then listen to what He says. And meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with them that are given to change. So I'm going to talk to you about them for just a little while. And I'll tell you right now that a lot of our churches, I'm talking about old-fashioned missionary Baptist churches, have meddled with change. And we've got to be very careful when we meddle with change. One thing that we cannot change, and you may not get anything out of this message, but the one thing that we cannot change is this place right here. There is no place for change for this place right here. You say, what is this place right here? This is a place where people can come and seek the Lord till they know that they know that they're saved by the grace of God. Don't let this thing ever change. Please, church, I'm talking to you. Don't let it change. Don't let them change. Whoever them is, and them will creep in unaware. Before you know it, they'll have it where they want it. Now, preacher, you say you done got the meddling. I don't want to meddle in change. I want to meddle in the Lord's Word and let His Holy Spirit speak to us and through us so that we might stick to what works. It works. You say, but Brother Spurgeon, they're filling up those big auditoriums of these churches here. Are they really churches? Are they really churches? Are they them? Are they the ones that we're up against? I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, we're not up against them. We're out to win souls. And we'll do it the way that it was done for us. When these brothers that stood in this pulpit did for many, many years. And always, this is a place that doesn't need to change either. This is a place that does not need to change. This place, this sacred ground by here, where men of God who were truly saved by the grace of God and preached from the depths of their heart. And you know what they preached? They preached what God laid on their heart. And many of them, you know what they did? They labored. They labored life, night and day, and toiled with God and prayed, Lord, send the message that we need through the messenger, that we might convey a message to them that they just keep keeping on in this way that we're in. Now listen, he said, my son, he says, fear the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if we fear the Lord like we once used to, I believe this is all my heart. If we fear God like we once used to and reverence Him, you know, a lot of people say, well, God is a God of wrath, but He's a God of love. And He loves us so much, you know what? He wants us to be with Him and reverence Him, for He is holy, holy, holy. And oh, how the church needs to be more holy. He said, I am holy. He said, I am holy because thou art holy. And we are. We're holy today. I'm holier than thou. We're holy because there's something inside of us that is so holy It needs to be reverenced and honored. So he says, "Fear the Lord and the King." And then he says, "And meddle not with them that are given to change." He said, "For their calamity shall rise suddenly." And he says, "And who knoweth the ruin of them both?" Who knows the ruin of them both? And now listen, as we get ready to go into this message, last week we talked about how that the churches of Asia Minor, I want to talk about them for just a little while and make sure that we are that our standards are measured up against the standards of God and not the standards of men and not the standards of them. I'll tell you, I heard a sermon 7 years ago that says God is a stickler. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that there's no gray area with God? There's not. It's either good or evil. It's either black or white. There is no middle ground. And yet so many of our churches are meddling in those gray areas where we need to understand that there is none. There is no God. And what He says, it's going to stand. It's going to stand when the world is on fire. It's going to stand in all eternity. And so as we go into this message, I want you to look at a few of the churches. The first one we're going to look at, as we mentioned last week, is the church in Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus, it was an active church. And I don't know how we compare to them, but I want to compare our church to them in the way that the Lord would have us to compare it. And that is against the Scriptures. He said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, first of all, you have to understand who the angel is. It's a messenger. And what he said, this messenger is the pastor of the church. And so, one of the things that you've got to understand for the Lord not to meddle in change is that we don't need to meddle in the change of who the pastor is and what he says unless it deviates from the Word of God and the doctrines that are presented here. Then we need to engage ourselves. In order for us to engage ourselves, we need to know what the Word says. So the church, as the Spirit speaks to us, as Sister Lisa so eloquently put it this morning, and she was testifying about how the Lord, He's changed us, and when He changes us, and how Sister Cindy was talking about when the Lord saved us, that we need to get in His Word. We need to get in His Word, and we need to not only get in it, but we need to read it and study it. You know, when there's a big difference in studying the Word of God and reading the Word of God. And one of the things you need to understand is when you study the Word of God, you'll know when the messenger's not on point. When he's not on point. And so the Lord was speaking to John, these revelations to John, and said, "Now I want you to write to that angel of the church at Ephesus." And when you write to him, the first thing he wants to notice, he says, "I know the works. I know thy works." He knows the works of Faith Church. Write that down. He knows our works. He knows what we're all about. He knows what we're going to be about. He knows what wants us to do. And we, as God's people, as members of this church that's been in this location for 60 years, but when the Lord comes back, He's going to find faith on the earth, isn't He? Is He going to find faith on the earth? Think about that. Is He going to find faith church on the earth? The church is not the building, it's the people. Keep that in mind. It's the people. And how that we practice and how we teach and the doctrines that have been handed down to us for over 2,000 years. The one point I want to make is this. There are 7 churches that we're going to look at. I don't know if we're going to get all 7 of them today. We probably won't. But one thing I want you to understand is this. Of these 7 churches, let's go back to what we said. Let's go back to Proverbs, and I want to drive this point home. It may be the only point that I make today. I don't know. All I know is this is what the Lord is leading me to preach on. And as He leads me to preach on this, I want you to notice something real quick. He says, "My son, fear the Lord," He said, "and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Now, why would Jesus give John these letters to a church that isn't even 100 years old yet? Think about that. Within 100 years of Jesus Christ setting up His church, He's already writing a letter to these churches. And the first one He tells to Ephesus, "There's something that has changed about you. I know your works." What's the first thing that He noticed about Ephesus church within 100 years that had changed already? He said, "You've left your first love." That's what He said. So, if we're going to battle with them, if we're going to compare ourselves to them, the one thing that we need to understand, faith church, is we should never leave our first love. Let's go ahead and do that. Maybe that was your first love. I know Brother Jimmy. He loved the Lord before he got saved. About right here, Brother Billy. But that's where they really came acquainted with that love. That's when it came in our heart. And here he's already writing to the church. Oh, Ephesus. I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. So the first thing He says to do, the first thing that I want every one of us to do today, if you don't hear anything in this message, is you remember this next word that came from Jesus. He says, "Remember." Isn't that what He said? Look at verse 5. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. That's where I'm at. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, "Remember. Remember." Could you just take a moment to remember? Remember back in your childhood days. Remember back when things were seemingly better than they are now. Maybe to you they're better now than what they were back then. But remember. And if that's the case, then remember that you're living better times. But remember. Oftentimes we want to live in the past. He didn't say it in the past. He said, "Remember." He says, "Ephesus church, faith church, you remember." I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on remembering back the good old days, when we ought to remember that the good old days are yet to come. The good old days are yet to come. So He says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, go back to that time." And you know it's going to usually be us, one of them. We listen to one of them instead of listening to Him. If we would just have listened to Him instead of one of them, just perhaps we wouldn't be where we're at today. You can say, "Well, it's my fault, preacher." It's not my fault, preacher. You can say what you want to, but it's all about them. No, it's not. It's about me. What I'm telling you today is all about me. that's the way we need to internalize it. It's got to be between you and God. Me and God. So he says, if you'll just remember where thou art fallen and repent. Ooh-wee. Well, what a relief it is. Isn't that what Alka-Seltzer does for you? The fizz goes on down. Oh, what a relief it is when we finally repent. When you're in a situation or state, church, where you feel like that they have done this to me, them, you, all of this, it's your fault, but I'll tell you right now, when you get to the point where you bring it down to the Lord, if I have done anything to offend you or anyone at Faith Church, and you repent of that, and you go and you seek forgiveness from God, and He forgives you, and He forgives the other party, I'll tell you, then you're going to feel a renewed spirit of love that I can't explain. It is about overcoming. It's about overcoming. That's what it's all about. We shall overcome. So he says, repent. A lot of people, you know what they'll do? They'll repent. And I know this is kind of a business term, but if you're in a business and you rest on your laurels, guess what's going to happen? Everybody else is going to pass you up. Because they're subject to change. But you see, he says, don't meddle in change. But if you rest on your laurels, if you get relaxed, before you know it, them or they are going to be where you don't want them to be. So he says, you repent, and then he says, get to work. Get to work! Isn't that what he says? Ephesus Church, if you want to keep this thing going, even though you're only a little bit over 100 years, if you want to keep it going, repent and get back and start working for God. Listen to what he says. And do the first works or else. Oh, come on. Or else what? You ever been to... I've had that over the years told to me many, many times. You better quit that or else. Or you might have been that or else. I'm pretty sure Gene said to me last night. Did you know that? You can snicker if you want. But don't we live in a world of ultimatums by them? Whoever them is. You repent and you get to work or else. This is not Brother Spurgeon saying or else. It's God that says or else. Or else. Listen to what he said. Or else. I will come unto thee in 100 years, in 1,000 years. He said, no, I'm going to come quickly. He's going to come in, he's going to take it out, it's going to be so fast you won't even know that it was done until they take over. When them takes over. When them takes over, he says, and remove thy candlestick out of the place. Except thou repent. He said, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, he said, which also I hate. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we've got to have an ear to hear the Spirit of the Lord. We're not going to hear him in his direction to guide you unless you're truly saved by the grace of God. Amen. His sheep know his voice. Sometimes you've got to flee to higher ground. Sometimes you've got to flee to lower ground. But I'm going to tell you right now, whether it's higher ground or whether it's lower ground, God is already there. He's there. He's here. Oh, He's here. He is here. He's here. I had no idea when I was going to say that. He's here. And I'm tiptoeing around, trying to make sure that I'm doing exactly what He wants me to do. Faith Church, if we've got a hear to hear, we need to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Oh, what a benefit. All He says about them, the church at Ephesus, is if you just get back to that personal, if you just get back to where you need to be, to Jesus and the gospel truth and heartfelt true repentance, if you'll just get back to there, keep on keeping on with it. Don't deviate. Don't back off. But just keep on preaching the way that He says to preach and teach and follow His direction. Going to be the way it's supposed to be. Amen. A lot of people say, well, everything's going to be all right. It's going to be right, but we may have some struggles. Some struggles that if we're not careful, we'll let it slip away. Don't let it slip away. Wow. I got to this point last week where I felt like I said enough and don't need to say anything else. Rarely does that happen to me. I usually got more to say than what I need to say. But for whatever reason, I just need to focus on Ephesus today. As we continue our focus on Him. And not only focus on them, but the changes that will quickly come if we're not careful. Let's stand on the promises of God. The next church is the church of Smyrna. And that church is a lot like this church. I'm going to try to tell you what I see in the similarities of these churches. You know what that church is full of? It's full of poor rich folk. May not have a lot in this world, but we got something that's better than this world. We've got something here. But even with that, the Lord is still trying something that we can work on, Ephesus can work on. And I'm confident if we're honest with ourselves, faith church, there's some things that we need to work on. Amen. And I hope you caught that. I didn't say you. I said we need to work on it. The Lord placed me here for a reason. Maybe I'm trying to find out what that reason is. Maybe I don't need to know what the reason is, but all I need to do is just follow the leadership of the Spirit, and that's what I'm trying to do. There's one thing I want to teach this church that has been taught by other pastors of this church, is if we leave the Spirit out, we just soon say, it'd been better just stay home.
Amen.
It'd just been better to stay home. But if we come prayed up and ready to serve and work for the Lord, He will bless. He will bless, bless, bless. Let me tell you something else. He wants to bless, bless, bless.
Amen.
See, He does. I'm kind of like, where do you want me to be, Lord? So you can send me blessings. Where do I need to be? Where do I need to be in the scope of this? First thing I want to do is I don't want to meddle in this change with them. That's why this is an independent missionary Baptist church.
Yeah.
is autonomous. It means that the Spirit of the Lord is the head of this church. Ron Spurgeon is not the head of the church. There's nobody in this church as the head of the church. It's God Himself has provided His Son as the head of the church. And the Son, He went away to the glory, you see. But He says, I'll not leave you comfortless.
Amen.
You know what He said He would do? I don't have this mark. It may take me a minute. But it's in the book of John. In the book of John, I'm going to close with this. At least I believe I will. Heard a preacher say, I'm going to be done in a minute. He preached about 15, 20 minutes later every Sunday. And finally a lady come up and said to him, said, Brother Junior, said, we don't mind you preaching, but just quit lying to us. If you're going to quit, quit. So you ever had a preacher lie to you from the pulpit? I'll bet you have. So listen. He says in verse 13 of the 16th chapter of the book of John, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Wow! Things to come. I don't know how the message is going to be next week. Don't know if I'll even get back to it. But I'll tell you one thing. If you really want to grow in the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is what we need to guide us into all truth. And if you really want to learn, He's going to show you some things to come that, I probably shouldn't say this from the pulpit, but it'll knock your socks off. Let us say. Let's shake hands. I need your prayers. I try to pray for you often. We try to pray for each person here. The altar's always open. I bless that deacons, but make sure that I always let everybody know that you can come and pray anytime. There's one thing that faith church does not need to change. Don't meddle in that change. You always give an invitation to folks to come. Find the Lord. Find salvation in Him and Him alone.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, that cannot change. And the day that changes is when our first word. God help us that we never do that. So if you're here and you need to come and seek the Lord, you need to come shake hands and renew old acquaintances and say, that would be. Because we don't know who will be here next week and who won't. One thing's for sure, it's not me. I'll see you over there.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, then the saints of God shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll that falls of yonder when the road is crossed with thunder, 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 I'll be there. And the glory of His resurrection shares. When His chosen ones shall gather over on the other side, and the road is all is done, I'll be there. When the road is all is done, when the road is all is done,
the master.
brother's presence, word you preach today, the word you emphasize greatly on, reminds me, comes to my mind a lot of times, is the Richmond Lazarus. Oh, old Richmond. Remember thou in thy lifetime, thou receivest he good things, likewise Lazarus evil. Remember, 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 and as for me, as we do it here on earth, hold it back, be strong everywhere. Remember, remember, and hold that's what they're going to be doing in hell. Remember. And there's many other words, like you said, like the Lord said, remember. Words are vehicles, and they stop. Amen.
Aren't you glad that you remember the word that you can go back to? You first met the Lord? And Satan, you know, the demon, they'll say, well, you need to go all the way back there. No. I can just go back to this blessing. I have right here to know that my Redeemer lives. Aren't you glad that you came? Anybody have anything with your heart?
First, I have to say, I'm glad to be here today. I enjoyed your passion. And I'd like to say I'm glad to see Sister Sarah.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Taylor was a pastor here, and I started coming here. And you'd be proud of your message today. You preach the same thing as your preacher.
Amen.
We're proud of you.
That humbles me, and I appreciate that.
Thank the Lord for the salvation. Thank the Lord for all the memories of our parents and our grandparents. They made the name of the church.
Amen.
The best thing I remember about Howard Taylor, my son was saved, sitting over here, and he's going forward. And the church is going to pray the benediction and release the church. There's about 3 or 4 or 5 young children on the altar. There's a family together around me. Brother Howard Taylor and I were sitting over there, And we saw my grandson raise up to the sitting with his grandmother. We heard his grandmother say, well, get up and tell these people. He got up and come straight to me and Howard Taylor. We knew what he was going to say, but we didn't.
That's right.
He woke up the other day and I says, look at all these lovely people. So I love every one of them. You know, I'm not cheating on them.
Yes.
That is a pretty all of you. All of you. You say, man. So you know how to take it. Listen. As I tell you, Russell, I tell them, all the preachers, Reverend T. Russell, my number one favorite. He's the one that put on the gospel. And how to take it was what my son did. I'm sorry to say he went to church now. Y'all pray for
him. Amen.
Amen. And we just appreciate God's presence.
Amen. Yes.
And Ron, I enjoyed your message this morning, and it reminded me of my dream last night. I'm a crazy dreamer. You don't know that about me, but I do have really weird dreams. But I don't always remember, and I remember just enough this morning that my dream last night was the time my wonderful mother-in-law. And she disappeared. I knew she was dead in my dream, and she disappeared. She spoke to me. I had no idea what she said. But she was there. But it reminds me of her consistency in following the Lord all over her life. You know, I didn't meet her until I was in my 15s or something. But I didn't really get to know her until much later, but it was the consistency of her. She never changed. She never had to guess where she was at on Sunday morning, Lisa, just like Kyle didn't have to guess where you were this morning. I knew where she was at. That was the most important thing to her. She loved the Lord, and she worshipped Him until she died. And that seems so simple. She was just a simple person. Was she perfect? Absolutely not.
No,
sir. She was not. change. We have to also remember in our walk to be missionary Baptists. And to stand for what we believe to be fact. And to know. I love her. I miss her often. I thank God for her. Because it was through her witness and her wonderful son that I learned about Jesus.
Amen.
So you never know what the simple things are or what people like your son. You're consistent. He knows it. Just keep doing what the Lord wants
Amen.
You to do. That His work He needs
right.
from us. He doesn't need us, but He wants us to do His work. And I thank you for saving my phone for this wonderful church where she takes them. I love these people, Brother Ross. I do. I love them from the bottom of my heart. And I believe in them and I trust in them.
Brother Ryan, I want to thank you for the message. Thank the Lord for saving my soul. Because it started my walk where I get to go back to. And this goes along with your message on Wednesday, which is your stewardship of time. To remember, within 100 years, they were having to be reminded already that it will slip if you let it. Repent and remember.
Amen.
The Israelites had to be reminded and how quickly they forgot and they got to see the miracles.
Amen.
But they still had to be reminded.
We need to see some miracles here too.
Thank you.
I long to hear. I don't have to see it, but I want to hear those who have not been saved tell me about getting saved.
Amen.
That have never told you before. Some people say, well, I don't see it. I don't have to see it. You don't have to see it to believe it. But you better know. When you know it, you can tell it. There's one thing that I want to that everyone to earnestly play for Sister Dorothy's last prayer request. All of her grandchildren are saved, but one. His name is Wes. She stood back. She'd have to sit the very back of the church because she was unstable. She fell a lot. But she stood up right where about Sister Dorothy's. And a lot of people couldn't understand her. I'd be way up here. And I could tell when she was sitting right for Wesley. And now she has great grandchildren. And because of them, one of them has already been deceived in one of the biggest churches in Boulder. Knows better. I watched that little Riley come up to church. And they've already deceived her. You say, well, how do you know they deceived her? Because I witnessed one of them that got deceived, one of the 5,000 ones that got baptized, got saved on Blue Monday at our church. Everybody said, we need to close the revival. I said, no. I said, I've got to come back tomorrow. I know I've got to preach. I'm coming back. If nobody else comes, I will be here. We came back that next night. And David Mahurd's daughter got saved. Right about there. She walked up to us last 2 weeks ago. She looked at Robin and said, why did you leave us?
She wanted to know where we are.
Why did you leave us? Yes,
she knows where to get to church. We thank her for blessing and for his day.
Amen. Anyone else? Thank you so much. Holy Spirit, come.
woke up before the alarm clock this morning, watched the sun come up,
and we heard Sister Dorothy had passed away. Yes.
Yeah.
Spirit of the Lord was on me, nudging me this morning. He'd get up, he'd sit in my chair, heard him call me to pray, watched the sun come up. Have you done everything you're supposed to do? The Spirit and the Bride say come. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Don't spurn the invitation. In other words, don't delay, don't put it off. There's a reason. There's a reason. The Spirit of the Lord meets with us here.
Thank you, Mama, for praying.
for her children to be saved. And she still is today. Filled with mamas that still love the Lord. And daddies too. Thank you. I just felt like I needed to say that. Didn't know how I was going to say it. I had to ask the Lord. I've been having trouble with my throat and my lungs. But God knows all about that. We can make any excuse you want, don't we? Excuses, excuses.
I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I knew Sarah before you did. We were children together. He left her dad, left his name to come here. She was just 6 and I figured out when she left, and that would make me about 9. So I'm just there today.
Amen.
I had to leave the room earlier, and I don't know if you made your prayer request for this or not, but we have family, church family in Jamaica that's a very serious danger from this hurricane that's coming. Of course, they're supposed to hit the east side, and I think they're about in the middle of the island. But that church could be in danger, those people could be in danger.
All right, so maybe we pray for our brothers and sisters there. All hearts and minds are bigger.
Pray for the little rock.
Yes, pray for the rock. I long to see that miracle. Some people say, well, she's too young. They're listening. They're listening. Their minds are a whole lot sharper than mine. Anybody else? If you feel like you've been to church today, if you haven't, please pray. Come back next week, pray. Pray for me, pray for each other, pray for Brother Jeremiah, and pray for these revivals coming up, services. All hearts and minds are with you. Stand together. In the charity department.
Thank you for the spirit that we felt today. We thank the Lord for allowing us to be here. All the blessings that showered down upon us, Lord, we thank you for that. We'd ask the Lord to let this message enter into our hearts throughout this week, that it might bring it to our mind. Think about it, turn it over. Lord, we ask that your will might be done in our life, all aspects of it. We'd ask the Lord to hear the prayer request that's been made here today for those that are in harm's way, and Lord, most of all, those that are lost. We'd ask the Lord to bring conviction upon them that they might turn to you and be saved. We'd ask the Lord to be with the preacher tonight as he comes, returns, stand, and be with all your preachers everywhere, Lord. Strengthen them. Lord, be with your people. Let your spirit be upon us. Favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.